Hi everyone, my name is Kathleen Maxwell-Ramby, and I want to just welcome you tonight to my living room. We're going to have a visit tonight about overcoming in life's crisis. You see, I teach a community Bible study here in Kerrville, Texas, and we are not able to meet right now. And so after numerous requests, I decided I would start a Facebook Live and do a lesson that would be just very important, I think, for many of us tonight. So grab your Bible and maybe something to take notes with. You might want to take some notes. And let me know that you're watching. You can leave a comment and leave a question if you want. And after the message, I can perhaps answer them. And also, I just want to say that I do have a podcast. It is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby. podbean.com. And so you might want to check out some of my other messages there. So as we open tonight, let me just lead us in prayer. Lord, I thank you tonight for this time. I thank you for the people that are watching and those that are going to watch. And Lord, I just pray that your grace and your peace would just flood each home and each person, Lord, as they listen. And Lord, just give me your words to say at this critical time in our nation and in our world. And we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message is Overcoming in Crisis and COVID-19. We all know that we're having to do new things and different things. For me, I have never done a Facebook Live, so this was a real stretch for me. Even though I've spoken a good deal, I haven't done something like this. But, you know, there's crisis in all of our lives, and it shows up at different times and in different ways. Right now, there's just a crisis in our nation. There's a crisis because of illness, because of death, because of just other things that are going on. But maybe, you know, your crisis is bills and finances, or maybe you've suddenly become a single mom, or you've had to battle sickness, or maybe you've lost a loved one. Perhaps you're a widow, and this isolation has been extremely hard on you. I understand that loneliness because I was widowed for 3 years when I was 49. And to come home to a lonely house every night after I'd been used to a husband and kids was very difficult for me. Maybe you have adversity in work, or maybe your marriage is falling apart. There's all kinds of crisis that we all face in life, but what are we going to do when that happens? One of the things that God has shown me is that the definition of overcoming is to get the better of a situation, to get the victory, or to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. And the big key in overcoming that I have found is how we see our crisis, our perspective. Our perspective is something that is real important because we need to really see things from God's perspective. When we look at things in the natural, a lot of times they can look out of control. They can look like they're never going to be resolved. And I was thinking about this upcoming weekend being Easter and reading the Easter story. And, you know, it is the basis for all Christianity. It really is. And as I was reading this story, it kind of reminds me in some ways of the way things are right now. In John 11 and 12, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, things are going along good. He rides into Jerusalem. Everybody's singing Hosanna. And then the next thing you know, his life is threatened and they want to kill him. And they do. And I'm sure he struggled in all of that, and his disciples did too. And you may feel threatened right now. You may feel defeated right now. Because life as we knew it, life was rolling along. The economy was doing pretty good. Kids are in school. We all have our routines. And then all of a sudden this pandemic hits. And many things in our lives are threatened, and death is all over the news. That's just tough. And so, you know, I want to tell you about just a crisis in my life and how the Lord just showed me we can either panic and be in anxiety, or we can partner with God as we go through this. And one of the crises in my life, I was married to my late husband for 30 years. Our youngest had just left for college. We were looking forward to the empty nest. And all of a sudden, we found out that Joe had a very rare cancer. And when we went to MD Anderson, one of the things that they said was, this cancer only hits 2 in 1,000,000. And I quickly realized there were not many answers for the crisis that we were facing. I quickly realized that God was my only hope and was who I was going to have to lean on, because the news wasn't good. And backtrack, oh goodness, I guess when I was in my early 30s, I really struggled with a lot of fears, and they were normal to me just because of the way I had grown up. And God set me free. And so when the crisis hit with Joe, I remember one day I was at MD Anderson, and Joe was having a 10-hour chemo treatment, and I could just feel anxiety creeping in, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to go back to that. I lived like that for years, and you've set me free, and I know that there's a better way for me. And so I went outside to get a breath of air, and as I was walking around, I just was talking to God, and I said, God, you know, Joe's in a win-win situation. Either you heal him and we have this fabulous testimony, or you take him home and he's in your presence. But I don't see myself in a win-win situation. He could be healed, but if he's not, then I'm going to be left and my life is going to be in pieces. And as I walked around the block there, I just felt God tenderly say, he said, Kathleen, I'll either heal Joe or I'll heal your broken heart. And then I heard him say, you have a God-given right to overcome in this crisis because you're mine. And I want to pass that on to you tonight. You have a God-given right to overcome in this crisis that you're facing, whatever it is right now in your life, when your heart and your life belongs to the Lord. And no doubt there are threats out there for all of us. And we have to be smart. We got to wash our hands. We got to be careful. We've got to be just vigilant in this pandemic because it is a threat. But the most important thing I want to just tell you is we have to watch and guard our mind. Because as we do that, and as we partner with God, crisis can work things into us and out of us. Things that need to go, God can work out of us. I can tell you, I'm not the same person that I was 11 years ago when my husband got sick. And one of the main things I learned is I had to discipline my mind. I couldn't live out of my feelings, because our feelings can lie to us. They really can. And I had to really go to the Lord with all of my feelings and say, Lord, are these from you or not? And God will help us through our crisis when we look to him. There's so much anxiety and panic out there right now, and God just has a better way for us. He's come so we can have righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what he says. And so going back to the Easter story, you know, life was rolling along good in chapter 11, chapter 12. And then in John chapter 13, Jesus begins to tell of his death, of his crucifixion, of his betrayal. And all those things are tough. I can only imagine. But then I love how he starts chapter 14 of John. He says, do not be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. See, God God, it's not in His heart for us to live in fear and in panic. He's got something better for us. And you have a God-given right to overcome in this situation when you partner with Him, because Jesus died, but He rose from the grave. And when you give your heart to Him, that power resides within you. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it does. In 2 Corinthians, I want to give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph." That scripture right there tells us that God will lead us in triumph over our situations. And we can follow God in this pandemic, or we can, you know, follow the panic, the news. I'm telling you, all we can really depend on right now is Him. And we have a choice to follow or not. I remarried 7 years ago, and I have a wonderful husband that loves me dearly. And one of the things we love to do is dance. And when we go dancing, I can either follow his lead or not. And I can tell you that everything goes a lot better and we have a whole lot more fun dancing together when I follow his lead. And I think it's the same way. I think it's the same way with God. When we follow his lead and follow his word and what he has to say in these situations, it just makes such a difference. And I have found such joy in everyday life with God, just looking for how he's going to show up, looking for how he is going to be with me in a situation and how he's going to help me overcome, no matter how difficult it is. So I think too many times we can get intimidated. I know I have. We can get intimidated by our circumstances, and we can get into negativity and whining and complaining and self-pity. And the enemy loves that. Whining, complaining, and self-pity don't look good on us, though. Trust me. I have played with them. I have entertained them. And they're not our friends, because the kingdom of God, it tells us, is righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And so I think that's where it's important in crisis that we guard our mind, because when we focus on the negative, when we focus on all the what ifs, the fear, the anxiety, those overwhelming feelings can begin to take hold of us. I want to tell you about another crisis that I had in my life. My mom, precious woman of God, had prayed for me all these years. And right when I stepped into full-time ministry as director of Christian Women's Job Corps of Kerr County, my mom got sick. And it was like, you know, she wasn't there for me, in a sense. And I was working with women that were in crisis all the time. I had, you know, a son in high school, a daughter in college. I had, my oldest had just gone to the Persian Gulf. I mean, most mothers, it's not your dream to raise your son and then go straight to war. And I was driving down the road one day, and a dear friend called, Troy. He called and he said, "Kathleen, I was praying for you today, and I know you've got a lot going on. And God said that overwhelming feelings are not from him, and you need to tell him to go. So have a good day. That's all I've got. Tell Joe hello, and I'll talk to you later." And he hung up the phone. And that has always stuck with me, that when I start to feel overwhelming feelings, they're not from God. And I literally sometimes will just tell those feelings when they try to creep in, "Go, you're not my friend." And we have that power because the Spirit of the living God lives within us. And the power that raised Christ from the dead resides within us. So if you are struggling with negativity and fear and anxiety right now, I just want to encourage you. I have a podcast on called Freedom from Fear, and so you may want to check that one out. I think it would be a good one. I want you to turn now in your Bibles, if you haven't, to 1 John 5, verse 4, and it states, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Right there, it's in Scripture. We have a God-given right to overcome in any situation that we face. And again, the definition is to get the better of the situation. It is to overcome or succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. John 16:33, I want you to turn to that. It says, now Jesus tells us, this is right here in the Bible. It says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." You know, the word trouble, the word tribulation means pressure. It means, it's translated pressure. And there's a lot of pressure right now with job cuts, with pay cuts, with just the danger that's out there, just going to the simple grocery store. We can either entertain and live in that panic, or we can really turn to the Lord and ask Him how to overcome in this. And I have discovered that it's more about in life finding God's provision in the midst of our tribulation instead of fixing just the problem. Another crisis time I had in my life, my mom was an invalid for 9 years, and she was really declining. And about that time, my dad's health really declined, and he was in the hospital. And I went to the hospital that day, and the doctor said, "Well, we do have some news. We found out that he has metastatic bone cancer, and he's got about three months to live." And so that was a definite blow, and I definitely had to take a deep breath and just reach for the Lord's hand in that moment. And I went home, went to bed exhausted, and the next morning about 7 o'clock, I got a call from my mom's caregiver. I'd had to hire full-time help to take care of her. And she said, "Kathleen, you need to get right over here. It's your mom." And I could tell by her voice that it wasn't good. And so I threw on my clothes, ran over there, and my mom had passed away. And I had remarried by that time, but my husband was out of town. He was in West Texas. And I remember just standing there and just saying, "Okay, Lord, I can only depend on you." And that was a crisis. It was a crisis in my life, and so much was going on, and I had to go to the hospital and tell my sweet daddy that my mom was gone. And, you know, one of the things that I learned in all my years at the hospital, taking care of my mom and dad and late husband, is that God was right there with me. It says in Psalm 73:23, "Nevertheless, I will be with you. I hold you by the right hand." And that's not just a scripture I have memorized. That's a scripture I know in my heart because I've walked it, I've lived it, and I've seen the faithfulness of God to walk me through to better days. It says in 1 John 4:4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who's in us is greater than the adversity that we're all facing. And nothing is greater than the power of God to overcome in any situation you face. You and I never have to settle for defeat. We don't have to. We have a God that dearly loves us. And that overcoming force that resides within us is greater than anything that comes against us. And that's good news, I'm just telling you. You know, in all of this pandemic and all of the things that are going on, one of my prayers for my husband and I, as we walk in these days, is that we will come out better, stronger, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, than we were when we started in it. And in the natural, that looks a little challenging because my husband's business is tied to the oil field. And of course, oil is lower than it's been in decades. And, you know, we also have kids right now that we really are dependent on God to protect. We've got a daughter and daughter-in-law that are expecting. We've got a daughter-in-law that is practicing medicine in Washington State. And we've got six precious grandkids. And so our hearts have to be fixed on the Lord. But my prayer for my entire family and my gathering family, I'm praying for you too, is that we'll come out stronger in the Lord, that we'll come out stronger physically, mentally, emotionally, that we'll learn things and that God will work things in us and out of us and show us how to come in this. And so I want to give you just a few steps that I have learned that have helped me as I reflected on what has helped me as I've navigated through crisis. There were some things that I have felt that helped me. Number one is asking God for His thoughts. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that scripture right there tells us that we need to go to the Lord and we need to ask Him, "What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about my life? What are your thoughts about my situation? I want to partner with you." And even asking God to change our hearts, I think that's important too. You know, Elijah was in a war, and I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings 6, verse 16 through 17. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, an army and horses and chariots surrounded his city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall I do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered," prophet Elijah, "'those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" See, Elijah had God's perspective of the situation. He wasn't just looking at things in the natural. And then in verse 16, it says, "Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he can see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire that surrounded Elijah. So, you know, right there, we've got to get God's perspective on situations. And the second thing I think that is important in navigating through crisis is we need to give God permission to change our thoughts, to change our thinking. And, you know, whenever there's conflict or there's a situation that's challenging, one of my favorite prayers is, "Lord, change my heart or change theirs." It's great in a marriage, trust me, because it puts you in a win-win situation. When you surrender and just say, "God, change my heart or change my husband's," you put your marriage in a win-win situation. And in this crisis, we need to give permission. We need to give God permission to change our hearts. And we need to give Him our hearts and our fear, our anxiety, our worries, our concerns. So that's step number two. Step number three in overcoming in crisis is one step at a time. It says in Psalms 37:23-24, it says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Folks, we've just got to take one step at a time. And there are scripture after scripture I can give you about the Lord holding our hand. It became so special to me as I walked the halls of the hospitals that, I learned. I literally would walk the halls of the hospital and I'd have my hand like it was gripped around a person's hand because I needed that. And it gave me strength. It gave me strength. Maybe you should try that when you go to the grocery store. You know, and one thing I want to warn you about is in a crisis, we can't look too far ahead. If we try to, I call it future tripping. If we try to look too far ahead, there's often not grace for that. And if we look at all that we've lost, there's often, that's hard too. But if we just look at the next step we need to take, God is so faithful to show us. He just wants us to walk with Him. Easter is all about relationship. Society has tried to make things about religion, about churches, about different denominations. And that's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with a living God that loves us dearly. And one of the things, you know, that God, I felt like, spoke to me as I was just navigating through the crisis with my late husband's illness, is He said, I didn't give you a package of strength. I will give you what you need, Kathleen, as you walk with Me. And that's what God's saying to each of us right now, is just walk with Me. Just take the next step. Just take the next step. The fourth thing that I want to say that's important in navigating through crisis is begin to thank God. You know, overcoming any problem begins with a grateful heart. And my go-to place in the morning when I'm praying, I begin to thank God for everything that there is to thank Him for. And there's something about when we begin to give thanks that it sets our heart in the right place. Philippians 4:6 tells us that. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Notice that it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. When you start with thanksgiving, it's going to set your heart right. It's going to set your heart right in every aspect. I know it does mine. When I begin to thank God for the blessings I have, it changes me. It changes me. It's not that God needs a thank you. It's because it changes us. And so during this pandemic, let's develop an attitude of gratitude. The fifth thing that I want to say that's important in navigating through crisis is to focus on God. You know, as an act of our will is a very strong thing. And there have been times that I have said in my crisis, as an act of my will, God, I choose to focus on You. See, in crisis, it's about discipline. And I'm telling you right now, it's hard because we're sleeping late. We don't have to be places. We can't go places. And we're all out of routine. I know I've had to just really work to just keep a routine because our routines are all upside down. And as we turn our focus to the Lord, as we discipline ourselves and turn our focus to Him, and we make Him bigger than our problem, that can change us too. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 16 and verse 8. And it says, "I have set my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand," there it is again, He's holding our hand, "I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body will rest secure." So you know, something is going to be magnified and you get to choose what it is. Are you going to let this pandemic be magnified and fear and anxiety? Are you going to let a God who loves you dearly and wants to walk with you, are you going to let him be magnified? You know, I've had my share of crisis in the past and heartbreak, and yet one of the things that I've discovered is God has been so incredibly faithful, and he is a God of redemption. He has redeemed one thing after another in my life. He really has. And the redemption didn't always come exactly how I thought or expected or in the timing I thought or expected, but he has been so faithful. And I just want to encourage you as we approach Easter Sunday, and that you reflect on how everything looked dark, but God raised Jesus from the dead, and that overcoming power resides within each one of us. And he just wants us to partner with him right now where we find him. And so as I wrap things up, I just want to say, I want to pray with you because we have, as a people of God, we have an awesome, awesome opportunity to rise up and become the church and to become the people God wants each and every one of us to be. We really, really do. And check out my podcast. There are some things there that I think might be some good resources at this time, and it is KathleenMaxwellRamby.podbean.com. And I just want to pray. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord, I just want to encourage you to do that now. I want to encourage you to give your heart to the Lord. And it's as simple as saying, Lord, I need a Savior. And I know I've sinned and I need you, and come into my heart. So, Lord, I just come and I just bring all of those that are watching to you tonight. And Father, I pray that, Lord, for those that don't know you, that they would invite you to come into their hearts and into their lives. And I pray, God, that you would just awaken us to the power of God that resides within us, and to who, and to understand in a fresh way who you are and who you want to be for us. Lord, that you would help us to overcome, Lord, the adversity that's facing us, that you would protect us, that you would protect our children, our families, our grandchildren. You'd protect our finances. And Father, I just declare that we will come out stronger and better, and physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your faithfulness. And most of all, Lord, I thank you that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for watching my first Facebook Live. I've enjoyed spending the evening with you, and so has Charlie, my cat that's in the background. I'm learning all sorts of things that I'm going to have to do before I do next Facebook Live. But I just ask the Lord to richly bless you this Easter week that's coming up, and I look forward to hearing the testimonies of how you've overcome in your own crisis. Much love to all. Good night.
Hello, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. If you love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations help keep them coming and are greatly appreciated. To give, simply click the red button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. Your one-time gift or your monthly gift of $1, $5, $10, or $25, or whatever you desire, will be greatly appreciated. I want to give a shout-out to our monthly donors that help support this podcast this month: Mary Meachelstein, Colin Melissa Johnson, Michelle Schilling, Deanna Caraway, and those who have also given gifts: Laura Jane Elder, Lori Milton, Lisa Davis, Fran Hulse, Linda Force, and Joanne English. We now have listeners from over 9 countries across the world. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him and to share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can. Also, if you enjoyed today's message, click the like button or leave a comment. I love hearing from my listeners. Thanks again for joining us. And if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at kathleenmaxwell1@gmail.com and check us out on Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Have a great day.